Hey guys, I'm Ashley and I'm the daughter.
I'm Liz and I'm the mom.
And this is the lesser known. So, to start our episode, we like to do a question of the day so that you guys can get to know us and hopefully we can get to know you along the way. And if you have any questions for us, please message us on Instagram and we'll be sure to answer them. So, Mom, what
Ash.
place has been on your bucket list that you want to travel to?
God, thinking about it, I've always wanted to go to Egypt. I don't know why. Like when I was little, I wanted to be an archaeologist. And so that was like my place.
Oh,
I've
did
always been,
you?
yeah. So like,
Oh,
I know, like,
I
I don't
didn't
know
know
why I
that.
would have ever told you. So I guess you like never would have known that. But
Well, I feel like
do
it
you
would
know
have
that?
come up because remember when I was like, oh, yeah, I want to be a paleontologist. And you're like, don't do that because it'd be super boring. But you
Well,
wanted to do the same
like,
thing, basically.
well, yeah, and then that's when I knew. That's how I knew. So it was like, yeah, so like I wanted to be an archaeologist because I liked like all the Egyptian like pharaohs and all that kind of stuff, and like the mummies and the sarcophaguses. I
What
don't know,
is
you know what
that?
it's coffins, like all that kind of stuff. And I think my one of my favorite first movies was Indiana Jones. So, obviously that's what I
I'm
wanted to do.
surprised it wasn't.
So yeah, but I still do want to go to Egypt. So I guess that was the first thing that popped in my mind. So we'll just go with Egypt.
Okay. So if I could go anywhere,
Oh, we're doing both of us? Ashley, if you could go anywhere, what's your bucket list place to go?
If I could go anywhere, I think it would be Bali.
But do you even know about Bali, or you just like saw Instagram posts and you're like, yeah, that seems
Well,
like a good place?
kind of, because remember, do you remember when I bought that like fitness package thing, like where I went to Costa Rica? Yeah, so originally I was supposed to go to Bali. But because I'm in the military and there was like pirating going
Right,
on,
right,
I couldn't
right.
go to Bali. So I
Yeah,
had to go to
I
Costa
forgot about
Rica.
that.
Yeah.
Huh. So
And
it's
it
still
just
on
looks
your
really
list.
pretty.
Like you never got to do it. So now,
I never got to do it. It was so
yeah,
close.
it's got to
I
stay on your
know.
list.
I know. I have a long list, but I think that's probably, or New Zealand. I don't know. There, I just want to go all over.
Yeah. So we'll go
Okay.
Bali for you, and then New Zealand. And if we're going from my childhood, for me, it's Egypt and Australia. Those are my two.
Okay. Did you know New Zealand is an island off of Australia?
I kind of knew that.
I
I'm
did
not,
not know that
yeah,
until I
so I
looked at
kind
a
of knew.
map.
And so I think part of the reason I know is because I watched The Crown, and she like is that's part of her ruling area. I don't know what it's called.
Oh.
So on the Crown, I think that she has New Zealand, Australia, and New Zealand, and I know they're like by each
Oh.
other.
Oh. Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, without further ado, let's jump into it. Okay, so today's episode, we're going to be talking about Death Valley. I'm going to give you some weird stories, weird things to do, uncommon facts, things you might not know about Death Valley. So, Death Valley was not always a national park. In 1933, it was established as a national monument, and it wasn't until 1994 that it became a national park.
How is that even possible? What does that mean, national monument?
I
Like, that
am
doesn't
glad
make
you
sense to me. Like,
asked.
how can a desert be a monument? And then, like, it didn't even turn into a national park until 94?
I'm glad you asked, because I had to look it up too. The difference between a national park and a national monument is that a national monument is like one thing. So like Horseshoe Bend would
Well,
be a national monument, but
that's
it's
what I
like a
pictured, but it feels like there would have to be like one thing, like, oh, there's a statue of like
yeah.
Roosevelt or something, and then it's like, oh, Death Valley, it's a national monument. But like, so you can even have like a piece of land as a monument?
There are a lot of things within Death Valley that could be considered national monuments. And then I think there was just so many things that they turned it into a national park because it covered such a wide area.
Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah. We'll jump into that later.
Okay. I'll wait.
So the park covers more land with multiple sceneries and monuments, whereas just a national monument just focuses on one single unique feature. So that's kind of where that comes in. When it became a national park, it grew approximately 1.3 million acres of new land.
Okay, so that makes more sense then.
Oh, they yeah.
expanded. Okay.
Yeah, so they bought more land and expanded it. And when they expanded it, it made it the largest U.S. national park outside of Alaska. And it came in at a total of 3.4 million acres.
God.
I know. Yeah. And there's like a lot of different landscapes and salt flats and mountains and then canyons and sand dunes and oases and historical and cultural sites. Like there's a ton of stuff on there.
So those are all considered monuments within the park?
Yeah, I think, and I don't know exactly, but I think when it first started out, it was just all these separate things. And they were like, well, you know, there's a ton of stuff here. We might as well just toss it all into one national park.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially with all being like so close together.
Yeah. And it also has a ton of endangered plant and animal species, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So before it became a national monument or a national park, it was actually used for trading goods between the U.S. and Mexico via the Old Spanish Trail. Have you heard of that?
Not exactly.
Yeah, do you have? I just remember it from history.
I like didn't, and the weird thing is, like, I love history now, but when I was in school, I hated it, and it was like my least favorite subject. And I would like literally just memorize what I had to memorize for the test, and I would like throw that right out of my brain, like right after. Like I just like could not. But now, like, history is like my favorite thing. So I don't know what happened.
Same. And it's kind of cool because you can actually still see parts of the Old Spanish Trail. In Texas and New Mexico.
Oh.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Wait, can I ask you something real quick? So where is Death Valley?
So Death Valley is mostly in California. Okay. But it does go off a little bit into Nevada because it's like right on the border.
That makes sense why I've never been there. I've never been to California either, so.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I got to get out there.
Yeah, it's so cool. You know, it's funny because I wanted to go to Death Valley when me and Jeremy went on our road trip to California. We did like that 2-week road trip all the way up the coast. And then when we were coming back, we were going to go to Death Valley. But he was like, I don't want to go there. It's just a bunch of desert and it's hot. Which,
that's what I would think too. I mean, something called Death
Valley. Well, I'm glad we didn't. No, I know. I'm glad we didn't go because if we had, I think, I don't know. It would have been really hot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we would have survived. I mean, it's like, you'll see. You'll see. We'll get
into
it.
Okay.
So do you know how Death Valley got its name?
I don't.
Okay. I will tell you.
Sounds good.
So it's, yeah, it's a thing. I don't know if you want to call it good. So it was pretty common back in the 1840s for prospectors from all over the world to travel to Sacramento Valley looking for gold. Most of them would make a wrong turn along the way and get lost in Death Valley and die from heat exhaustion, dehydration, and starvation. And everyone knew this. So there was one specific group of prospectors from the east, and they made a wrong turn, found themselves in Death Valley. So they decided that the best chance they had to survive was to take the Old Spanish Trail, which covered areas of New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, and Southern California. The group decided to split up. Some stayed behind, while others hiked 300 miles to the nearest mission, which I think when they say mission, they mean like a religious group. So, you know, half the group left to go find help, and then they returned a whole month later. And unfortunately, some of the group didn't survive. But the ones that did survive continued on their journey, eventually finding their way out of the valley. And as they left, they said, goodbye, Death Valley.
Oh. Makes sense. Well, it's like so obvious, right?
No, well, when I read that, I was like, that was super
dramatic. Yeah, like, who said, who's the first person to say this? It's like, wow, they're, like, they're legit.
I know.
Like, by I Death know. Valley. And then everyone just, like, passed that along. They're like, oh.
Like, yeah. Like, oh my god, it's such a good name. Death Valley.
And then they sent a horse-drawn carriage somewhere to, like... tell people on the other side of California, this guy is like zing to Death Valley.
Yeah. Yeah. When I read that, I was like, wow, that was a lot of buildup for,
for obvious. Like, goodbye, Wet Lake.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So, speaking of lakes,
okay.
I don't know if you know this, but Death Valley is actually considered the driest place on Earth. So there are no lakes. Well,
at all?
Say that. Well, we'll get into it.
Okay.
Let me hold my tongue really quick.
Okay.
So it is the driest place on Earth. Usually the park gets less than 2 inches of rain per year, except when there's a rare phenomenon called the superbloom, which is essentially when a desert has like a massive rainfall. Mm-hmm. And it causes wildflowers to sprout up.
Oh.
Yeah. So
they
can
just
actually
stay
be
dormant pretty. For years, and then it rains one time, and then they all emerge?
I guess. But it's only when a super bloom happens, like a lot of rain.
Did you say how often that happens? I might have missed that.
Not yet, but okay. I'm about to. So this phenomenon is so rare that it's said to only happen every 10 to 15 years. I know.
How can anything even
And that's
there?
According to, like, meteorologists and some sources that I read. So, in August of 2020, it actually happened in Furnace Creek, which I have a lot to tell you about that.
Okay.
And Furnace Creek is a dried-up lake bed that's located inside the park. The rainfall lasted about 3 hours and measured 2.2 inches deep, which is the deepest recorded rainfall in Death Valley. And if you think about that, in a matter of 3 hours, mm-hmm. the park superseded its rainfall for the whole year.
Oh.
Isn't that
crazy? And it's only during the super bloom?
The super bloom,
I can only imagine that when you're in Death Valley, if you dig in the soil, there's like flowering seeds all over. And then when it rains,
you
we
know,
get the
okay.
super bloom?
Yeah. So it's funny that you say like when you dig in the soil, because when I was doing research, I didn't include this specifically in here, but the reason that some animals can live out there is because they dig in the soil to find water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I saw a picture and there were donkeys who were like digging to get water.
Oh.
I know.
That's cute.
I know.
Also a little sad.
I mean, they're surviving though. So a couple other of interesting things about Furnace Creek is that some parts of Star Wars was filmed there because of its odd landscape and
Oh, I did not know that.
I know, me neither. Yeah, but
Adam,
because
he probably already knows though. He like I feel like he knows everything.
Yeah, but it's because like it has such vast and unusual landscape that it looks like you're on another planet. So that's kind of why.
Oh, I guess it's like smart of them to go over there and film then.
Yeah.
You're not going to find that in LA. I don't know. I've never been there, so I guess I don't know.
No. No. I don't like LA.
Okay, one day. I'm definitely going one day. So it's probably like anywhere, like certain parts. Like if you go to Miami, it's like some parts are glamorous. And then there's other parts that are like definitely not glamorous. So
yeah,
I'm sure
it's
LA
definitely
is the same way.
Definitely a city.
Yeah.
So Furnace Creek is actually Death Valley's own personal airport too, or they have their own personal airport.
I'm like shocked that they wouldn't have an airport.
Well, it's not for commercial flights. So it's like what I fly, like little private planes. So aside from the rare occurrence of rainfall, Death Valley is known for being the hottest place on Earth with a record high. Do you know the record high?
I don't.
Ooh. Okay. So it's a record high of 134 degrees.
Okay, that's higher than I thought. I was going to say like 115. So yeah, you still got it.
Yeah. So oh 134 God. In 1913 and then again in 2021.
So what's the average then? Oh, 2021. So that was like just happened.
Yeah.
It was 134.
It ranges. Yeah. So that's like the highest it was ever recorded, but it ranges between like 100 and 125, I think, during the summer.
Wow.
But in Arizona, we just had like a record for being above 120 consecutively for the last 2 months or something, like in the summer.
So you basically have the same temperatures as Death Valley, right? I mean, aside from like not yeah. the 134, but like over 120 for 2 months.
Yeah.
So yeah. like nobody was outside then, right?
No. No, like you go outside and it just feels like you stepped into an oven.
Yeah, like when you open the oven and all that hot air like blows in your face. Like yeah. that.
Yeah. But yeah, like Death Valley does have some animals still, though, that live there. Like bighorn sheep, tortoises, and jackrabbits.
I can see the tortoises. I can see the tortoises because they seem very like dried out. And mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't seem like it takes a lot to keep them going. But
yeah.
But like rabbits and what was the other thing?
Jackrabbits, bighorn sheep. Oh, bighorn sheep. That was it.
Oh, and that's it? It lives in Death Valley mostly?
No, there's some other stuff. There's actually some super rare fish. But before we get into that, you know, knowing how hot the desert is, what do you think the most common cause of death is in Death Valley?
Dehydration.
Wrong. What? Car accidents.
No, shut up.
No, I'm serious. That I looked it up. Be. It is because they get 1.1 million visitors a year.
Yeah.
And some of the roads are so like windy and narrow that like people either like run another car off the road and then they like go down the mountain, or they get in a car accident and they either die on impact or they're stranded there. So huh. then eventually they die from the heat. The car accidents were like the number one. Which was crazy.
I guess I didn't even realize that there were mountains. Because I was just thinking, it's like, how are there all these car accidents if it's this flat land? I didn't know there were mountains.
And we're about to jump into that, too.
Oh. Surprise, surprise.
So it's considered the 11th most dangerous national park in the U.S., not due to heat, but due to car accidents.
That's crazy.
Yeah, go ahead. I know.
No, I was going to say, that's crazy. Like, I would never have guessed that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. And there's like an average of 4 to 6 deaths per million visitors. So, I mean, it doesn't seem like that much.
Yeah, it doesn't seem bad at all, actually.
Yeah. I think that's why it comes in at the 11th most dangerous. So Death Valley's temperatures go from one extreme to the other, but so does its elevation. Hmm. So Badwater Basin is located within the park, and it is the lowest point in North America at 282 feet below sea level. I know. While the park also contains Mount Whitney, which is the tallest mountain in the U.S. besides Alaska at 14,495 feet.
So it's like at super high points and super low points? Like what's in the low point? Like what's in there?
Well, it's a basin. So it's just like basically a dried up lake bed.
Like the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, but it, no, cause the landscape is different. Okay. Like it has these, I don't know, you've probably seen it, but you know, those like cracks that make like hexagons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like that, like all over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, like between one of those, it goes super deep.
No, the just itself, like the flat land, is at 282 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like a couple miles long.
I would have to, I'm going to have to Google this. I'm definitely
have
to Google this.
I'll post pictures too. I'll post some pictures too, okay, and then you can see it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Post it on the Instagram.
Yeah.
On the grams.
Oh yeah, we have an Instagram, guys. So it also has two of the tallest and steepest, most active singing sand dunes, which are the Mesquite Flats and the Eureka Flats. Do you know what singing sand dunes are?
I was going to say, I can't even imagine.
So they're approximately 680 feet tall, and they're called singing sand dunes because of the friction that the sand grains make cause them to mimic similar tones to a pipe organ or an airplane. For this to happen, you need the right amount of steepness, grain size, and the air needs to be dry enough. Mm-hmm. And there's only 30 recorded singing sand dunes in the U.S., and Death Valley has two of them.
Wow.
I know.
So it's like, it just has to be like the perfect formula
yeah.
to create this. I would be interested to hear what that sounds like.
Yeah, I'll, you know, without copywriting, I'll try to find one.
I don't think the singing sand dunes are going to be like, you just took my sound.
You never know. I'll give a shout out to
We're going to get a phone call from the National Parks.
Yeah.
Did NPS. You use the sound of the singing sand dunes?
You'll notice a lot of the things that happen in this valley have to have like the right amount of whatever to do all these things. It's crazy. Like I would have never known all of this stuff. Even if I just went to go visit, I think I would have never known all this stuff.
Yeah. That's why it's good that we're doing this before you go. So that when you go, or when we go, whoever goes, like you can like look out for these things. So this is perfect.
Yeah. So another weird phenomenon that happens in the park is the mysterious sailing stones.
Hmm.
So these stones weigh 700 pounds or more.
Oh, God.
And yeah. And before 2012, it was a mystery as to how they moved across the dry lake bed on their own. And the lake bed is called the Racetrack Playa or Playa.
Playa.
I think that's Spanish.
Yeah. It's
Playa. Yeah. So the reason that people thought that they moved on their own was because they would leave trails, like 1,500 from, and nothing was behind them. So it, like, no animal could have pushed it. No person could have pushed it. So, you know, of course, before they figured out what it was, they were like, oh, it's aliens, you know. So at one point, an experiment named Sharp and Carey ruled out the fact that ice could have moved these rocks. Because I don't think I told you this. It is the hottest place on Earth.
Yeah.
But it can also drop to very low temperatures in the winter.
Oh, I think you were like starting to go into that. We got off topic.
Yeah, I probably was. But it basically goes from like one extreme of heat to one extreme.
What's the extreme cold? Do you happen to know?
No, I don't. I'll look it up though.
But enough to freeze?
Yeah, because I mean, I want to say it's similar to Arizona. Mm-hmm. And here we can reach a low of 25 at night, you know, so that's below freezing.
That's so strange to me because when I pictured Arizona, when you were like, oh, I'm moving to Arizona, I pictured you being in like heat, a desert heat all the time. And then when I see you in coats and stuff, I always forget. I'm always like, you're like, oh, it's only 40 degrees. And I'm like, oh, gross. Like, I can't believe you're there in Arizona and it's cold.
Yeah. No, I get super jealous when you're talking about, you know, Florida and you're like, oh, it's like 60 or 70.
Right. Especially South Florida, because even North Florida, they do get cold. But like being in South Florida, I mean, we get like, it's a rare occurrence for it to be like 50. And then I'm standing at the train in my winter coat and scarf and gloves and 50 degrees, like shivering.
Yeah.
But like in like most of the time, it's like between like 70 and 90. So it's like perfect for me.
Yeah, that's so nice. But yeah, okay, let's go back to the Sharp and Carey experiment. Yes. So Sharp and Carey, that experiment ruled out the fact that ice could have moved these rocks. I'll post a picture too, because it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
But they put the stakes around the rocks, but only one moved beyond the stakes.
Okay.
So then they were like, oh, well, it couldn't have been ice that moved it because it would have moved both of them, essentially. So then it wasn't until a few years ago in 2014, researchers, two cousins, Richard and James, discovered why they were moved. So they theorized that these rocks moved because of strong wind. So that was like their first theory. But these are 700-pound rocks. So that would be a lot of wind. The National Park Service told them that they could do an experiment using GPSs, but they couldn't take the rocks that were native there. They had to bring in their own rocks with GPSs in it. Just because they wanted to preserve the land and stuff like that.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's a national park. You can't take things.
So anyway, they brought in their own rocks with a GPS tracker in it that would go off every time it moved. So they found that on the rare occasion that when the playa fills with water, normally after like a big snow melt or, you know, it floods or something, the lake bed would flood. It would freeze during the winter nights. And as it started to warm up during the day, it created ice that was so thin, like super, super thin, that no one thought it could get that thin. It was an eighth of an inch thick. And it would break up around these rocks. And then with the wind, it would blow it across the playa. So it was like a mix.
Yeah. 'Cause
the Sharp and Carey experiment did like thick ice. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that made it not possible to slide. But the very thin ice,
You know what that reminds me of? You know how when you have a really heavy piece of furniture and you put those sliders underneath it and then you can just slide it? It's like basically that's what happened. Like natural sliders.
Yeah, basically. And it needed like the right amount of like thickness of the ice and the right amount of wind to even move it. So yeah, the Sharp and Carey experiment only disproved thick ice. And then also, like, it's weird because some of these rocks were moved uphill.
Oh, that seems impossible anyway. Because if it's slippery with the ice, how did it not? So, unless it, go ahead.
Yeah, so it does because when the rocks were moved uphill, there's a phenomenon known as a seiche. I think I'm saying that right. It's basically when a strong wind causes a rapid change in the height of water. So it would be like a super strong wind that would change the height and move the rocks uphill.
Oh.
I know. Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I found out, like, I hope this guy got arrested. but I found out that there was some maniac who, like, went through the park and so they tell you not to walk in the playa when there's mud because your footprints will stay there for like decades.
Oh.
Because it just, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. So they want to preserve how it looks because it has those like hexagonal, that hexagonal landscape I was telling you about. So they encourage you not to walk when it's muddy, but when it's dry, you can walk on it and go visit the rocks and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy, he drove on it when it was muddy and did donuts and spun around and messed up all the landscape. So the National Park Service, NPS, had to come out there and they had like a bunch of volunteers and they brought like hundreds of gallons of water to like wet the playa so they could try to like scoop it back into place.
Yeah.
And because otherwise those tracks would have been there for
There's always gonna be that one person.
I know. And I'm like, why would you do that?
Were they able to fix it?
Yeah, some of it. I mean, I think they said that you can still see some, but it's not as bad as it was.
Yeah. How long ago was that? Do you know?
I think they said 2016.
Oh, okay.
I know. So not that long ago. It's probably, I think there is still a lot there, but.
Yeah. I mean, it seems right. People do.
Yeah.
There's always got to be that person who wants to like.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating though.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll go back to the topic. So yeah, I don't know if you know this either, but Death Valley actually all used to be underwater.
Mm-mm. Actually, wasn't everything basically under?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was like, but it's just crazy to think that like, you know, you can go to the low. Sorry, I just hit my mic. But you could go to the lowest point, which is 282 feet below sea level. So basically you're like under the ocean.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to think about.
It is weird. I don't know if I've been anywhere like that low.
Yeah. So, okay. After it was, that was like 20,000 years ago when Death Valley was filled with water. And then as the temperatures rose and the water dried up, it began to form separate pools. And there's like one specific pool. It's a geothermal pool called Devil's Hole.
Okay.
And I know I told you a little bit about this, but I didn't want to ruin anything.
Can I just like tell you one thing? Think of the names of these places. Death Valley. Furnace something. I forgot what you said. Furnace Creek or something.
Battle Devil Water Basin.
Like, this does not sound like a good place to visit.
No, but it is so cool. Like, there's so much there. And but yeah, like, there's also something called Devil's Golf Course. Like, it's and they got their name in, like, the dumbest way. Like, yeah. We'll go into that, too, but it's just, it's funny. So Devil's Hole maintains a temperature of 93 degrees Fahrenheit all year long.
Ooh, perfect.
I know, wait, right? That's water like a temperature? Hot tub. Yeah. This you can't go great. In it, though.
Why?
I know. Well, okay, I'm about to tell you. You wouldn't want to go in it after you hear this anyway.
Okay.
So, it maintains a temperature of 93 degrees Fahrenheit all year long, and it's inhabited by only one type of fish that was able to adapt. So, like, all the other fish died. This fish, however, was able to adapt to the extremes, and it's called the pup fish, like P-U-P.
Aww. Like, sounds adorable.
I know, it sounds so cute. I know. And they're, like, really cool looking. They're, like, neon. And
yeah, I'll have to look that up. So, like, how do they know there's no other fish? They like,
well, yeah. So the only people who can go in there are certified divers, and you mm-hmm. have to be like doing an experiment. So like National Park Service, they can go.
So there's
in
no
there.
Like weird shrimp, like weird like see-through no. shrimp or like anything mm-hmm. like that.
Nope. They, from what they've explored, they can't find anything. And I mean, like you have to think about it. It goes down. And well, okay, we'll get into that.
Okay.
I want to stay on topic because there's a lot.
All right.
And I want to make sure I cover it all. So there's 5 species of pupfish in the world, and all of them are only found in Devil's Hole.
Wow.
I know.
I wonder what they started out like.
I don't know. It's crazy. But in 2013, there were only 35 pupfish in the world.
Total?
Total.
35.
Yes.
Like, how do you know? It's like, wait, did I count that one already? Like, you know, like, are they all in one school? Like,
I just imagine them down there, like, 1, 2. Oh, no, they moved.
Count. Oh.
I don't know. Maybe they put, like, tiny little itty-bitty trackers, or they have a camera, or something. So, in 2013, there were only 35 pupfish, but now there are approximately 200. Hmm. So, yeah.
That's good. At least they're, like, increasing.
Yeah, they're moving on up.
Yeah, getting families, extended families.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing well for themselves.
Yeah. it's a rebuilding year.
Yeah. But, like, it's because they kind of, you know, blocked it off. So people, that's why you can't go swimming, because their ecosystem is, like, so fragile. And it's extremely, extremely salty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad they're coming back.
I know.
So yeah, that's why they're coming back, because before people were allowed to swim in there, and now they're not allowed to swim in there? Like, people were messing with them?
No, I think they just, like no one, there were signs posted all around in, like, the 60s, like, don't go in here unless you're mm-hmm. certified and you have, like, a purpose. But people ignored them, because
yeah,
there wasn't,
someone,
like
drove their truck in it.
Exactly, yeah. But there wasn't, like, you know, the gate that they have now, and, like, all these things deterring mm-hmm. people. So they did, like, just up the security a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah. It's just crazy to think about, like, at one point, all of Death Valley was covered in water. And then you think about, like, where the lowest point is. And then you think about Devil's Hole, which goes even further, like, down. So we're basically at the ocean bottom when we visit Death Valley, which is super
that's
crazy.
True. Yeah.
I know.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. But yeah, so Devil's Hole has very low oxygen levels as well. So mm-hmm. it's like a mystery as to why these fish can survive there. And the floor of Devil's Hole has never been mapped or explored. I'm going to post a picture, because it's like an underwater maze. Like, it would be so easy for a scuba diver to get lost down there. Because it's, like, all
there's
these
no
different
way.
Caverns.
I'm, like, terrified of, like, dark water. There is no chance I would ever do that.
Yeah, there's so, all
have
like
they seen the bottom, or is it too low?
No, it's never been mapped or explored.
Like, they've never, but have, I know they haven't mapped it or explored it, but
no,
have they seen it?
I don't know, because they know that it goes at least 500 feet deep, mm-hmm. but divers and explorers say it's impossible that, like, they could go deeper.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if they won't even do it, because, you know, there's, like, those extreme mm-hmm. divers, and, like, there's always, like, those extreme people, and if they won't even do it, that's pretty,
I know.
Pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It is scary, because, like, when you look at it, you can see, like, just how big it is, because the picture I'm going to post has, like, a little scuba man, like, to show you the size, yeah. you know? And then, like, you could just see it branches off into so many different caves and, like, routes, and it's, like, a whole system.
So when you go to Death Valley, are you allowed to look at Devil's Hole?
You can look.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just can't.
Yeah, you just can't. Yeah, you can't go in, and they have it gated off.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, actually, in the 60s, there was a group of four friends who were all scuba certified, and they wanted to visit Devil's Hole and explore. And so two of them, like, stayed watch, and then two of them attempted to go in there while ignoring all of the signs that were posted saying not to go. And they ended up getting lost in the water.
Oh.
Yeah. And I guess, like, I don't know, they were hopeful at first that they would be able to find them, because there's, like, little air pockets that you can go up into, because there's, like, caves under there.
Oh,
but okay. I know. But it took days of sending professional divers in after them, and they never found
them. So the two that went in never came out?
Nope. They never even found them.
Never?
I mean,
where did they go? Because usually when people float to the surface eventually, that's
terrifying. I don't. Yeah, it's super scary.
Or they're just gone.
And, like, they're just gone. And their families were, like, out there hoping that they would just bring them up. I know, it was sad. Ugh. And then I'm saying it like I was there, but I researched it, and I was
like, I feel like you're very adventurous. So, like, when you talk about going places and, like cliff diving and all that, like, that's how I feel. Like, if you did a cliff dive and then didn't come up, I mean, that's awful.
I know. Yeah. But yeah, when I was reading it, I'm like, oh man, this sucks. Cause, like, the family was so hopeful. Mm-hmm. And then this is actually kind of crazy too. So they spent days of searching for them, but at some point, like, the heat, because it was in the middle of summer, and the heat of the water. So you have 93 degree pool that you're diving in, and then you're coming up to 120 degree like weather outside. So they were, like, you know, endangering other people's lives too. So that's mm-hmm. kind of why they called off the search, and they were endangering the pupfish life.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It's just sad all around, because I could see it from both sides where, like, you know, you're trying to preserve pupfish, and these people took it upon themselves to, like, ignore all of the signs telling them mm-hmm. not to go. But then the families, you're like, oh man, that sucks. Cause I know if it was my family, I would want them to keep looking.
That's what I'm going to say. The day they stopped looking, I'd be like, you can't stop looking.
I know. And they were, like, never found, which is just crazy.
That's the scary part, when someone is just like never found.
I know.
Cause it's different if, you know, like, you know what happened, but when, like, you don't find them, you have no idea what happened.
I know. I don't know if this is brighter note, but an interesting note. Their Devil's Hole is also so fascinating because it's the biggest indicator of seismic activity, which I didn't know what that meant, so I looked it up.
It's seismic. It's
you know it?
Yeah, it's earthquakes.
Earthquakes. Yeah, I didn't know that. But large earthquakes as far as Japan, Indonesia, and Chile have caused the water to slosh in Devil's Hole.
No way. Because it's so deep, you think?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it says the waves can splash up to 2 meters high up the walls.
Because of something that happened in where? Japan?
Japan, Indonesia, and Chile.
Wow. I'm gonna look that up. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And I know at the beginning I said that, like, I wasn't going to, you know, recommend places to go because I don't know it. But these were just some cool places that I researched. And so I kind of want to just make you aware of them in case you want to go visit. But when I go visit, I definitely want to visit them and then do like a recap of whether or not they're actually good places to go. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So I told you about this before a little bit. Devil's Golf Course. This was once covered by a lake, and when the water evaporated, it left behind a 1,000-foot layer of salt and minerals that form spiky mounds and stalactites.
Oh, that's really cool.
I know. And the reason it got its name is because someone was on there, and they were like, oh, this is so tough to walk on that only the devil could golf here.
So again, there's just like this one guy like roaming around Death Valley, just making up these like
names. It's probably the same guy.
Catch on, right? Yeah, he just like lived for 200 years, and he's like 200 years later, he's like, "Ooh, look at this! Only the devil could play golf there." But good on that guy, I guess.
I know. And then the next thing is Scotty's Castle. So there's a giant castle near the edge of Death Valley, and it was actually built on lies.
What?
Wait, sorry, I had it on my notes, and I just had a way more cheesy.
Yeah, right. So yeah, everyone, come lay down your lies. We're gonna build this castle.
No, but okay, it was actually built on a lie. So the castle was built by someone named Albert Johnson, who inherited a large amount of money. And then there was a guy named Walter Scott, and people referred to him as Scotty. And when he heard about all this money that Albert had inherited, he was like, oh, I'm going to, you know, go to him and ask him to invest in my mining business. And Scotty was known for like fraud in California, and he'd mm-hmm. been arrested multiple times. But Albert was from Chicago. And so he didn't know about all the fraudulent schemes. And he agreed to meet with
Scotty. He's just like an innocent Midwesterner.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll meet with you and I'll invest in this mining business because, you know, in the end, when you mined all that or when you mine all that gold, I'll be rich as well. So he was like promised a bigger ROI or return of investment. Mm-hmm. And after he didn't receive checks or gold or anything, Albert decided to travel there and see what the operation looked like. And so Scotty gave him a tour and a rundown of the operation. And then he hired like bandits or like people to rob the place. Yeah, Scotty did. Scotty hired people to come in and act like they were robbing the place so that he couldn't finish the tour, essentially. Yeah.
So he's like, oh, just before we get to the gold, and then like someone
exactly
jumps in and just like robs them and takes out bags with dollars,
right.
Bags of like dollar sign money bags, and like
yeah,
throws it over their shoulder and runs out.
Yes, that's exactly how it
and
went.
Then Scotty's like, oh no, what a weird, yeah. weird timing.
Right. And Albert was like, oh, well that, you know, that sucks. So he went back to Chicago, and after like a few more times of like investing, he was like, you know what? I'm still not getting, you know, a return on my investment. So he hired a private investigator who told him that there were no gold or active mines. But Albert, again, refused to believe that he was being conned. So, because I don't know, I guess he was just so trusting. But he was like, why would someone go through all yeah. of that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, why would and someone lie and like, oh, I saw them get robbed. So, like, they obviously right. have something, like, just totally yeah. gullible.
Yeah. So which even after, it. Like, hiring a private investigator who told him how it was, he was just like, nah. So he continued to invest for years into Scotty's business.
Come on,
and
Albert.
Eventually, yeah. And eventually they became friends because of how much time they spent together. And I guess Albert would go out there like, you know, every winter or whatever to go visit Scotty, and they'd just hang out and they'd camp in this little cabin that Albert had. So they became like good friends. Best. And then I know. And then after 20 years of this, Albert's wife wanted to come out there too and was like, hey, can I just join you guys? but she couldn't stand like the off-grid living that they had been doing. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, you know, if we're going to stay out here, I want a castle. I want like this mansion.
She's like, not like, I want a camper van. She's like, no, if we're going to stay out there, I want a castle.
Yeah. She's like, I want the whole thing.
Right.
So Albert bought a plot of land and he began to build a castle for him and his wife. He invested 1.5 to 2.5 million into the castle, which
in today's dollars
is 34 million.
God.
I know.
Like, she couldn't just have like a house. She's like, no. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
We're doing this. I'm going to stay out there for 1 month out of the year. I got to do it right.
Well, I actually do think they ended up moving there.
Oh, like, okay. Then that makes sense.
Probably because it was so expensive.
Indefinitely.
But actually, while the castle was being rebuilt, he found out that the person he hired to survey the land fabricated the agreement, and the castle was built on government property.
Oh.
I know. So this poor man is just getting scammed all around.
I think he needs to do a little more research.
I know. But he was able to work out a deal with the government, and they said that he could use the mansion or the castle as long as, like, when he passed away, he would donate it to, like, a religious organization.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, make it a church?
Yeah, I guess so. I think that's what they meant. So, Albert eventually did pass away in 1948, but before he passed away, he was like, okay, I agree to give this to a religious organization as long as Scotty can live in it for the rest of his life.
Man, he's like obsessed with Scotty.
I know. So like, Scotty just basically inherited a castle and all this money and gave Albert nothing.
Right. It's like a one-sided friendship for sure.
Exactly. But Albert didn't see it that way. So
I mean, I guess as long as he was okay with it. Like, that's his business.
Yeah.
I don't know if his wife Scotty was very happy about it, but did Scotty even take over the wife? Did he like marry the wife after?
I don't know. I should look that up. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they were quite the trio.
So Scotty did stay there the remainder of his life. And when he passed away a few years later, they buried him at the top of the hill near the castle. So you can still see the grave and the castle today. Hmm. Yeah.
See, that's what I would be interested in. I'd be like checking out the grave and the castle. That's like my, all the weird stuff.
Yeah. You should like see if there's any, like anything about Scotty's castle.
I think maybe I will know. My next episode is going over like the creepy, spooky, haunted places like near Death Valley.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I can find stuff about that too. So I'll try to look into like a little more detail about that. See if it's like haunted.
Yeah. I'd be curious. Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another place that looked kind of cool was Wild Rose Charcoal Kilns. So these are like big mounds that you can walk into. And they were originally built to provide a fuel source for miners.
Hmm. Yeah. It's funny you're going over all this stuff about miners because in my next episode, it's a lot of it's based around miners. So,
ooh. Yeah, I bet. Because that was like the big thing, you know, because they were mining for gold and
all that and stuff. Other things. But I'll get into it next week.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. So another cool thing. Or it looked cool to go visit, would be the Yubahibi Crater. And it means big basket.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, and there's also the little Hebe.
He's
just, which is like, I think it's adjacent to it, but it's a smaller crater right next to it. But these were formed by hydrovolcanic activity. So when the magma rose up, it made contact with groundwater, and because it was so hot, it flashed into steam, which caused a eruption. And so this volcano is still considered moderately active, But it's not as serious as it sounds, because moderately active just means that the volcano has erupted within the last 3,500 years.
Well, yeah, not so that I'm like, long ago.
I know. So I'm like, will it happen in our lifetime?
Right.
Possibly. Maybe
the dinosaurs were.
Yeah. So it's
I didn't
like,
even realize there were any volcanoes there.
Yeah, so I didn't either, but California as a whole actually has quite a few.
So
one of them is, like, very active.
Maybe I kind of knew that. I only knew, like, you know, everyone knows California as where the earthquakes are. So there's the fault lines and, like, the seismic activity and all that. But that maybe has to do with the volcanoes? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I guess we're all
but yeah,
it's like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and I'll put a map, like, of the active volcanoes in California, because that
and
was
maybe one day we'll
too.
Get a volcanologist to like follow our podcast, and then they're gonna listen to this and they're gonna be like, you guys are so wrong.
Right. Well, is that what they're really called, a volcanologist?
I think so. Like, I really
no
think
way
so. I mean, yes, I could be wrong also. I'm not trying okay. to say
for all you volcanologists out
yeah,
there,
so
let us know if we're wrong.
Out there, you could like set the record straight for us. First off, what's your name if you are called volcanologist? I think that's what it is. Like, I really do.
We'll have to look that up. That okay, sounds
yeah.
good.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have Google right in front of us, but we'll take our time.
Well, yeah, we'll take
we'll let you know.
So another place is a close optional place. It is the Saline Valley Hot Springs.
A nude hot spring?
What'd you say?
A nude hot spring. Like, it's like going into a hot tub?
Yeah.
With or without
Well,
clothes?
It's, yeah, it's clothing optional, so.
Is there a section that, like, you have to wear clothes? Because no. That's the one I would go to.
The whole thing. Nope, the whole thing is clothing optional. And it's, like, not, it's not very well, because it's not found on NPS's map.
Oh.
And, like, if you ask people, they'll tell you how to get there, but they're not, like, super adamant about telling people. I don't know why. I couldn't figure out why.
Probably because they
maybe
don't want
they
a bunch
just,
of, like naked people roaming around.
Like nudists.
Yeah. And, like, nudists setting up camps there and stuff.
I mean, probably. But it's just one of those cool things, like, that it's not really found anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah. So, it's 3 miles long. The water is 107 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm.
Yeah. And I found this on Atlas Obscura, which is like one of my favorite places
oh,
to go
I like
when
them.
I'm looking for. Yeah, me too. And they also have a podcast. So, you know.
No, that, well, okay. That's what I know about. I only know about the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, their website's cool too, because they post pictures. They give you a little bit of background about the place.
Have you listened to their podcast?
Yeah.
It's
I like
good.
Their podcast.
Yeah. Too. I yeah. love it. Adam likes it too. That's how I found it.
Yeah. And then I remember I told you that there like wasn't water in Death Valley, but there is actually a spring fed waterfall, and it's an all year round waterfall. It's called Darwin Falls. It's a 2 mile round trip that takes about an hour and a half. And then in the show notes, I'm going to post a link on how to get there. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I guess it is a little confusing and you have to go through stuff.
To get. Go through what is stuff mean?
To get to
like
the waterfall
mountains, you have to go through like mountains.
No, just like you have to climb over some boulders and
oh.
stuff.
With yeah. those 7,000-pound rocks that are being pushed,
yeah,
push those a little bit.
Yeah, but yeah, it's called.
Sounds
it's
worth
called
it
Darwin.
Though. Like I feel like that's yeah. the part I would want to go to. I wouldn't necessarily want to go to the death part, like the death desert part, but the waterfall sounds amazing. So.
Yeah. Well, and, like, a lot of these places, though, when I was looking it up, I should just post a map of all these places. Because mm-hmm. on the map, it looks like, oh, it'll just be, like, a 20-minute drive. But it's, like, an hour to 3 hours long when you're driving.
Also a risky drive because
it
the
is.
Most common yeah. cause of death is car accidents. So
yes.
Beware.
So you are risking your life when you come
yes,
here, but
exactly.
It's for the views. It's for the gram. So I also found Zabriskie's Point, which is, you can hike up to it and you can see like a bunch of the different landscapes from the viewpoint. So that looked really cool. Mm-hmm. And then there's something called artist drive and palette. These are rocks that look like they're painted, but the colors are actually caused by the oxidation of different metals. So like the red, the pink, and the yellow are from iron salts. Yeah. And then the green is from decomposing tuff derived from mica, which I didn't know what that was. So I looked it up, and it's a type of sedimentary rock that forms from the consolidation of volcanic ash and other volcanic debris. Mm. Yeah, and the magnesium is purple.
I feel like that's like the areas I would want to visit.
Yeah.
Like all these places you're describing right now.
I know. Yeah.
That's probably the most touristy places though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Like when I was reading about it, it said that these are the most commonly visited.
I'm like places. Basic. I'm just like...
No, but I would want to see this too. Yeah. And they say that the best time to go see the artist's palette is at sunset or sunrise. Because when it's directly over it, you can barely see the colors. Like the sun, when the sun is directly.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So let's jump into a little true crime that has happened in Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't go into a lot of detail, but if you want to hear more detail about any of these, I'm going to be talking about a German family that went missing, and National Parks After Dark covers this and they do a really good job. And then another podcast called Morbid goes over Charles Manson, who's also another person I'll be talking about. So in July of 1996, a German family went missing. Their names were Egbert Rimkus, his 11-year-old son, George Weber, Rimkus's 27-year-old girlfriend, Cornelia, and her 4-year-old son, Max. So this was like a situation where they didn't have a kid together. They just had like a kid separately, but then
they each had one.
Yeah, I forgot what that's called. You know what I mean? Where they're like a family.
Blended family?
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. Okay. That's it. So they flew from Germany to Los Angeles. They rented a car and started their journey to Death Valley. They were supposed to fly back a few weeks later, but when they didn't return home, Egbert's ex-wife reported it to the authorities, and the rental company actually... categorized the rental car as stolen at that point because it hadn't been returned at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 months later, rangers were flying over the park, just doing their normal thing. Like they look for illegal drug labs and things like that, because apparently in Death Valley, it's like the place to go to run an illegal drug lab.
Yeah, Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So they were looking for that, and then they noticed an abandoned vehicle near one of the remote parts of Death Valley. So they went to the vehicle and they inspected the van, and they found that three of the four tires were flat, and there was no trace of the family. Mm. So it looked like they had just like vanished.
Yeah.
And they actually like, I think National Parks After Dark goes into it, but they like kind of discovered maybe the route they could have been taken.
So they think that the car... they started walking.
Yeah, because I guess like they had been driving on the flat tires for a while, and it was over like very rugged terrain, and the rocks are super sharp there. Mm-hmm. So they do say like to take off-road vehicles, and they had like a minivan. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't super equipped, and then they just kind of got stranded, and they went as far as they could on one wheel. But then I know. So they sent 200 search and rescue workers out, who came up with no trace of the family besides a single beer can that was hidden in the bushes. There were no footprints, no food, nothing besides the single beer can.
Also, who's to say that beer can was theirs?
Like, exactly. Yeah. So it just had looked like
so they just like vanished? Like,
that's what it looked like. And it was like a mystery. Wow. Yeah. It wasn't until 13 years later, in 2009, when a couple of hikers were out and they found the remains of two people who were positively identified as the two adults, but the children were never found.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I find that very strange that 200 people went out looking for them in the exact area, didn't find anything, And then these random hikers years later find, it's like, how did those first 200 people like just not find anything?
Well, so there was like a couple different speculations. So one of them is like a conspiracy theory, like they saw something they shouldn't and someone took them out and they killed them somewhere else and then dropped their body off and did all that stuff. But the conspiracy of that was, I guess there's military operations there. Mm-hmm. And so they were thinking like they saw something that they weren't supposed to.
Yeah, like Area 51.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they went missing, vanished, and they didn't find their bodies until like way later. So they were saying that maybe they were looking in the wrong place. So the 200 people who went searching, they didn't like look at the route that they maybe had planned. And so that's why like they found their body later, because they were looking at you know, a different route. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they went the way they thought they would have went, but they didn't look at the route that people actually had written down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So they just looked at the wrong route, and then the hikers came across them. So the next thing that I'm going to talk about is Charles Manson. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
I didn't know. I didn't know much about it.
Oh my God. He's almost like one of the most famous, like, crazy people in the world. Like,
yeah, but okay, so... his story does start out sad and, like, morbid, goes into his, like, childhood story. But when he grew up, he became a musician. And when his music career didn't work out how he wanted it to, he started getting into drugs and he became, like, a cult leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, long story short, he grabbed a bunch of people who wanted to follow him, and he formed this cult, and he convinced these people that he was godlike, and they believed him so much that they were willing to like kill people for him.
Mm-hmm.
So they killed multiple people and they hid out in their abandoned mining cabins in and around Death Valley, specifically near the playa.
I knew the Charles Manson stuff, but I didn't realize it was by Death Valley.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. Yeah, they, like, hid out there.
Yeah, because I thought it was closer to, like, L.A. or something.
I mean, maybe. It says in and around. I know they killed,
like, famous people, like, a famous person.
Yeah, they did. I forgot the name, but...
Sharon Tate, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. I took a, I minored in criminal justice, so, like...
Oh, they talked about that?
I took a class called Serial Murder, but I think Manson actually didn't he never actually killed someone. So I can't remember if he was part of that or I've just watched like so many shows where they talk about it.
Yeah, he didn't actually kill anyone, but he got people to kill.
Right. He like brainwashed people into killing people for him.
Yeah. So eventually the Manson family was caught because they brought attention to themselves because they got dune buggies and they vandalized park property and lit machinery on fire. And they were just going crazy. So eventually they were caught. We could do like a collaborative, separate episode on this if you want.
With what? Like separate episode?
Like the whole Manson story.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get into too much detail about the next part. But if you are interested in this, you can go to NPS's incident website. They have a ton of stuff on it. But there have been so many things in Death Valley. From drug labs to drug busts to people hiding a bunch of stuff out there, like kill kits and like bodies.
So if you don't have time to talk about it right now, like what a kill kit is?
Oh, I can talk about it now. Okay. A kill kit is basically like when a killer doesn't want to be recognized, they buy all the stuff for a kill kit over multiple trips, and then they hide it in one single box and hide it in the desert or wherever they plan
to kill. It's smart. So, like, when the cops go to, like, the Ace... No! So when the cops go to, like, the Ace Hardware and they're oh, yeah, this guy came in and bought a bucket, a rope, a tarp, a knife, you know what I'm saying? Like, they buy it at different places.
Yeah. Like, they wouldn't suspect it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what a kill kit is. And, there have been incidents on that website of people even committing suicide. Because there's a rare plant out there called a datris, which is like a form of nightshade, and it's poisonous, and people will eat it. And there's also things on there like aircraft incidents that have happened in Death Valley. So I don't know. If you're interested in that stuff, definitely visit the NPS's incident website. I'll post a link to that as well, because there was a lot of cool stuff. And then I just want to, like, before we close out, I just want to say, if you do visit Death Valley, because of like how dangerous it can be, just be sure to plan. So there's limited cell service, so make sure you have some way to contact someone, pack lots of water and snacks just in case anything were to happen, extra tires, and yeah, just be safe. I would like download your maps, print out a map, tell someone where you're going,
also like the park ranger probably. Like you're saying, yeah, like make sure you have the right, or like something more off-road.
Yeah, like look at the, you know, type of vehicle you have for where you're going, and like map out the area. And then if you want to like learn more about some cold cases that happened, NPS also has a cold case link that I'll attach. And they talk about, you know, all of these cases that have never been identified, like who the killer is. So if you have any information or you come across anything while you're hiking, which, you know, we always hope we don't, but it's a possibility, then there is the link to the cold case file, and you can call them with any information that you have.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't realize I had that.
Yeah. And that is Death Valley.
Oh.
Yeah.
So many things. I had no idea.
Well, guys, that is it for our episode today. Be sure to message us on Instagram if you have any recommendations on what to cover next. Next week, my mom will be talking about spooky, creepy things in and around Death Valley. So be sure to stay tuned for that, and we'll see you next week. So my sources are treehuggers.com, morethanjustparks.com, backpacker.com, outsideronline.com, strangeoutdoors.com, pbs.org, physicsgirl on YouTube, npr.org, the house on YouTube, and npca.